This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Good morning, Richard Di Natale, the federal leader of the Greens. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm really well.
Great to have you.
A great press conference with our candidate in Nathamar, Steph Hodges and May. So, no, good start to the morning.
Well, McNamara and Higgins are the two seats we're going to do candidate debates, so make sure your candidate is up for that. We did it in Paran, you might recall. We had the three candidates in the studio, so we're going to do the same for McNamara and Higgins. So what's the feeling out on the street, Richard?
Really positive, actually, really positive. I think there's definitely a move for change. To be frank, we can't get rid of this current mob soon enough, but I think people understand that, particularly when it comes to climate change, and it is the issue that comes up time and time again with people, that we do need some strong leadership, and it's the Greens in the Senate and through a seat in the lower house that will put pressure on a new Labor shortened government to make sure we actually lift our level of ambition and have a policy that's based on science, not on politics.
So is that the defining issue, do you think? It's Tass here. Good morning to you, Richard. Is that the defining issue, climate change?
Oh, absolutely. Feedback we're getting when we knock on doors and talk to people is that the thing they're most concerned about is climate change. And indeed, that's backed up by a lot of research. There was a poll that was done recently in terms of the number one issue that people care about. And it's interesting. Higgins and McNamara, and those two seats in particular, is ranked as the number one issue by a fair margin. So it is the issue that's coming up. And it's no surprise. I mean, we've just experienced one of the hottest summers on record. We're, you know, losing the Murray-Darling Basin, the Great Barrier Reef on the brink of collapse. We have, you know, so many of the extreme weather events, fires, floods and so on.
So is that an inner-city view, Richard? Is that an inner-city view, or is this an issue that you're picking up in the regions as well?
Oh, absolutely in the regions. And particularly farmers. I mean, I think it's interesting because it's often depicted as this sort of inner city versus rural divide. But in regional and rural areas, and I live in a regional area, the feedback's really clear. People are experiencing this in terms of the changes to the agriculture. So, for example, crops are maturing earlier. I've spoken to people who are winemakers, and they're finding that their vintages are ripening earlier. Huge changes in what were pretty established patterns. Rainfall patterns are changing. Some parts of the country are becoming very marginal. And so farmers themselves are bringing this up with us. So it is an issue that I think cuts across the city-country divide. It's an issue that cuts across demographic divide. And it's really very much a marginal viewpoint from only a small group of people that this isn't something we need to worry about.
If I can ask, Richard, you know, one of the issues, I agree with you that climate change is really front and centre. The other one is tax, and you know, there is a big difference between Labor and Liberal and also the Greens. Can I ask, in terms of Labor's negative gearing and capital gains tax and franking credits policy, do you agree with that policy? Is that something that, you know, should Labor win, that you would support?
Broadly, yes. And I'd point out that when it comes to negative gearing and capital gains tax, we've been advocating for that change for many, many years. I mean, look, you've got young people being priced out of the housing market, and we've got a system that gives tax breaks for people to buy their fourth or fifth house, and they're competing against people trying to get into the market for the first time. So, you know, we've long supported. In fact, our policy goes a little further. We don't think that we should be making exemptions for new builds. We think that basically we should abolish negative gearing across the board, and we should reform capital gains tax so that it's treated like income.
Yeah, look, I'm not.
I'm sorry, not, the capital Keynes tax discount. I should
yeah,
say.
Yeah, the discount. Yeah, look, I'm not unsympathetic to that view. I think, you know, when I'd argue for, you know, a bit of a more staged introduction because people have made plans. Doesn't mean the plans that they've made perhaps aren't the best plans or it wasn't the best policy, but I think people do deserve an opportunity, you know, to implement that, even though the policy's been announced for a while.
But for some time.
But it's good to know that in broad terms you support it.
I think just on that, though, it's important to, under both policy settings, that people who have already made those arrangements, they won't lose that arrangement because they did make decisions based on what the rules were at the time. Well, so we are talking about applying it into the future, not retrospectively.
But that's with negative gearing, that they haven't, I don't believe Labor have said that in terms of capital gains tax and franking credits, they have with negative gearing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But look, other issues.
A number of our listeners, actually, Richard, have given us some feedback about the culture within the Greens Party, and in particular, some of the infighting that's been taking place, and what's been referred to as being a sort of a women's problem in the Greens. Now, that sort of played itself out at the most recent Victorian state election, but has also been playing itself out more nationally as well. Can you comment on that? What's your reaction to that?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is to recognise that a lot of this has been raised by political opponents, but and, you know, that's the nature, unfortunately, of modern sort of adversarial politics. It gets very ugly.
But some of your very own MPs have raised this.
Sure. So I'd point firstly to the record of the Greens, and what I'd say is we're a party that has representation in terms of our politicians. We're more than 50% of our MPs across the country at a state and federal level are women. And that doesn't happen by accident. We don't do it through quotas. We do it because we have had a culture that has been very respectful and supportive of women. Our party leadership, when you look at our national co-conveners, who are the leaders of the party outside the parliament, they're both women. In Victoria, the leaders of the Victorian Greens are both women. The leader of the Victorian Party is a woman. All of those things happen because we have had a culture that has been respectful and supported women in positions of leadership and ensuring that we pre-select women to winnable seats. There's no question that as a party that's growing and has grown very rapidly over a short period of time, and I think it's important to remember that over the course of the 20 years I've been a member, we've gone from having no representation at a state or federal level in Victoria to having MPs at a state and federal level, two senators, Adam Bann in the lower house seat of Melbourne. And with that, the party needs to grow and its processes and procedures need to improve.
And you did get a bit of a shellacking at the last state election here in Victoria.
Well, I think, again, just to be clear about that, we won a new seat at the last state election, the seat of Brunswick. That was a new seat.
In the upper house, there is a very undemocratic voting system in the upper house. And so we had people in electorates getting 13, 14% of the vote and losing to people who got 1 to 2% of the vote. That's because of this group voting tickets where basically, you know, you have people gaming the system and directing preferences amongst lots of small parties so that eventually one emerges. And it's a very undemocratic system. We actually reformed that in the Senate federally. So that's what happened in Victoria. But that's not to say that you don't learn from elections. We conducted a review into the result in Victoria. One of the things that clearly needs to improve is the conflict resolution processes, and we've made some changes there. But when you actually get on the ground, like I've been just in McNamara, and you speak to young, engaged supporters and volunteers, they're really enthusiastic about what the Greens are doing, the fact that we're a genuine alternative to politics as usual, the fact that we don't take big corporate donations like the Labor and Liberal Party do. All of those things, you know, on the ground are why people are getting involved in helping us in some of these lower house seats and right across the country.
And look, I'm an advocate for complete public funding of campaigns. I think donations corrupt the process.
Absolutely.
Where do you set the level? You know, does $200 corrupt? Probably not. Does $2,000 possibly? Does $20,000? I just think public campaigns. I think the challenge, Richard, is, you know, we started off the show saying this is a battle of ideas. And what you're saying is that, you know, that's what you're hearing on the street. But it's also, you know, a battle of on social media and in other forms on the policies. And we have, you know, let's be frank, we've got some policies or arguments being put out there by some politicians that are just, they're lies.
Yes.
Now, yeah. You know, how do we, you know, how can voters hope to actually make an informed decision when there isn't, you know, when this is happening and when they're perhaps not being, you know, those policies aren't being questioned diligently enough by some in the media? How do people make a decision?
It's a very good question. And I think it's something that people are wrestling with, not just here at this federal election, but right around the world, the rise of social media, the rise of, you know, the intervention of some state influencers. I mean, you just need to look at the electric vehicle debate that was playing out recently, and that was just appalling stuff. The coalition's response, talking about the government coming to take away your ute and so on, it is, you know, politics has been, I think, debased for far too long. It's the role, I think it's programs like yours that calls this out, that makes it very clear that we need to sort of speak truth to power and hold these people to account. Social media is a much more difficult space, but there's definitely a responsibility of the, you know, the big social media giants to ensure that what's being published is accurate and fair. I think it's a collective responsibility. We've got to hold the media to account more. The Greens have supported something called truth in advertising laws that would mean that if people are going to go out and campaign and basically spread falsehoods about other political opponents, then there should be laws that ensure that what they do is truthful and they're held to account for those things as well. But I think coming back, can I just come back to that point about donations? I mean, when you've got $8 million being given by the coal, oil and gas lobby to both sides of politics since 2012, you're going to get a politics that's corrupted in a way that the decisions that are being made for their donors' interests, not being made in the interests of people and the environment. And I think that's a bigger problem that we need to deal with.
I agree. We've run out of time, unfortunately, Richard. Look, thanks for making yourself available. I know what election campaigns are like, and, you know, every person you can engage, you will.
We'd love, of course, to squeeze another interview with you before the elections.
Oh, I'd love to. No, I really appreciate it. And appreciate you having me on.
Great. Right.
Thank you very much for your time.
That was
good on you.
Richard Di Natale, federal leader of the Greens Party. You are on Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.